Thanks very much, and as is my custom, I welcome anyone here from the Jewish Chronicle. We often don't recognise them immediately, but if you are here, welcome, and I hope you find the meeting interesting. I'm trying to remember, I think it was a year ago that President Obama came to this country. Was it a year? About a year ago.
18 months.
He visited and addressed us and wrestled us to all of us. And I was fortunate, I thought at the time, very fortunate, because the speaker spotted me in the audience as he was bringing him out and introduced me to the President of the United States. I shook hands with him this time. And as I shook, it was interesting because he had previously introduced him to Jonathan Sacks, the rabbi. So I thought it was rather nice that the speaker then spotted me and brought him across. It was a nice combination. And as I shook hands with him, I thought I had to say something. So I said, "Mr. President, please remember the Palestinians." And he said, "Deaf." He said, "Sure." And moved on. And he was very pleasant, and his handshake was very warm and very firm, not floppy or anything. It was great. So that was a great moment, and I didn't wash my hand for about a week after. All my grandchildren had touched it because they were very impressed. But, you know, as has been said, really, as Gerald Kaufman said, such a disappointment, such a bitter, bitter disappointment. And, of course, we know why, don't we? We know why, because the reason Obama started off so well and made that speech in Cairo and then felt silent is the thing, because of the thing that bugs me, that bugs Lord Ahmed, that bugs anybody who speaks up for the Palestinians and criticizes the people who support Israel. Israel. I'm not talking about Jews or Jewishness. I'm talking about Israel, the state of Israel. Anyone who does that is what's just. What is it? Mincemeat. They will go for you, big time. And I always say, I am not anti-Semitic. I've never said anything remotely anti-Semitic, and I haven't got a cell in my body that recognizes that sort of feeling. But I am anti-injustice.
Yeah.
And the injustice that has been handed out to the Palestinians over decades, to me, is one, not only one of the greatest in the world, it is also the most dangerous for the rest of the world. Because in the problem of Palestine lies the roots of a lot of problems of the Middle East and the rest of the world, as we've seen it in our lifetime unfold. So it is crucially important that we address this issue, crucially important that we keep reminding our leaders and our politicians about it. And those same leaders who wanted to bring democracy to Afghanistan, remember? 12 years ago? We invaded Iraq, one of the reasons being to give them democracy, this wonderful gift of democracy. We must give it to you, we must teach you how to run your country by democratic means. And they told Palestinians to have elections in 2006. Great, have your elections. We will send observers to observe the elections, and they will report back to us, which they did, and the elections were free and fair and thoroughly admired and recommended by the observers that were there. And we didn't like the party that won. So democracy was suddenly dismissed because the wrong party won. It's like saying in this country, if the Liberal Democrats, one day, you never know, if the Liberal Democrats won the next general election, it would be ruled invalid because nobody wants the Liberal Democrats to run the country. I mean, it's inconceivable. These were genuine candidates, and they weren't all Islamic terrorists. In fact, none of them were Islamic terrorists. Some maybe were members of Hamas, but there were Christians among the Change and Reform Party, which is the party that, ran the elections. You know, it was a free and fair election, and we denied them their democracy. And that is where all this problem happened with the parliamentarians, because most of those parliamentarians were arrested, and the ones who had the worst deal of all were the ones who represented the people of East Jerusalem. Because, of course, now Israel recognises, says that East Jerusalem is part of Israel, and therefore those parliamentarians that won their seats in East Jerusalem are not only illegitimate and were arrested and put into prison straight away, but they've been disloyal to the state of Israel by standing for elections to represent their people. But it's the most extraordinary situation. And we visited them, we had a meeting, which was a video link meeting here in this building. And then it was 2 years ago, it was in the summer of 2010, Lord Hilton and Lord Ahmed and I actually went out to visit them when they had been released from prison but were not allowed home to East Jerusalem because they didn't belong in East Jerusalem and they shouldn't be there and they'd been disloyal to the state of Israel. So they were holed up in the Red Cross, and we actually visited them in the Red Cross headquarters. And I don't need to fill in the details because you've heard all the other details about what is happening to parliamentarians. They're still in prison, they still can't go home. Their families are in East Jerusalem, and the only way for them to be reunited is to move out of East Jerusalem, which of course is what Israel wants. And you know, this is just grossly unjust. It is against international law. It is against the Geneva Conventions, and it denies the Palestinians, as well as the parliamentarians, all Palestinians, their human rights. And we let it carry on. And I promise you that here in Parliament, we try and try and try. We ask questions, we call debates, we novel ministers. We get attacked by the Board of Deputies, we get attacked by the Jewish Chronicle, we get attacked by the lobby absolutely relentlessly. I've been thrown off things, I'm sure I have had to resign the whip of my party because I refused to apologise for saying that Israel needed to change its policies, that it would not last forever in its present form, with all the changes that are going on in the Middle East, and with America no longer dependent on Middle East oil. We have to remember that. There is a factor there which could explain a little bit of Obama's indifference. Who cares? We've got enough of our own. But with all those changes, I dare to say that Israel would not exist in its present form unless it changed. It would reap what it sowed. So I've repeated now what I said. I refuse to apologise because I thought that was quite a reasonable statement. I wasn't denying the right of Israel to exist. I don't deny the right of Israel to exist. I think Israel could have been the most wonderful force for good in the Middle East. It really could. It could have been there as a free democracy with freedom of speech and all the energy and expertise of people relieved that the Second World War was over and going in there and creating a new country. It could have been such a force for good if only they had recognised the human rights of the Palestinians and obeyed international law, but they didn't. So what do? We are sick collectively, I think I speak for all of us, of the responses we get from the British government. Because they always give the right responses, they always condemn Israel for their actions and say they should obey international law, and they say they've made representations to the government of Israel about this and that and the other. But do they take any action? No. Because they say it all depends on America, we have to wait for America. Well, I think that is stupid and weak. And I think the vote at the UN recently on Palestinian getting observer status, that vote showed that all over Europe there are countries who no longer support Israel wholeheartedly. Even Germany abstained. We abstained, but even Germany
who are usually the most fearful of saying anything or doing anything to Israel. So that showed that all over Europe, people are really thinking very hard, and all our campaigning and all our efforts are actually proving their worth, because the general public know what's going on, the general public got action. And that action should be our government persuading the European Union to suspend the EU-Israel Association Agreement, which represents 60% of Israel's trade. It's a huge thing. We should start applying those, call them sanctions if you like, upon Israel until they start obeying international law, stop building and withdrawing from the occupied territories, and allowing Palestine to have a state. I do not believe it's too late. If only the international community was strong enough, we could see the two-state solution. And that, for me, is what I'm still campaigning for, and I assure you, I'm still carrying on getting into trouble about.
Thank you.